This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. We often hear today about different medical conditions and we ask Allah to grant us protection from all illnesses and diseases. And amongst them we hear about ADD, attention deficit disorder, or some would say ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Some would present in adolescent kids, others in adults, etc., etc. I want to just tweak that term slightly and adjust it and say SDD, spiritual deficit disorder. And this is the question I ask to you and I pose it to myself. How long can an average person today sustain a spiritual span? So if you had a Ramadan booster or you had a Hajj vitamin or you had some spiritual retreat program, how long are you able to sustain that spirituality? I'm afraid by and large, we cannot sustain our spiritual momentum for a long period of time. And hence, we need wisdom to energize us and invigorate us. And I share with you today something very profound and amazing of one of the early scholars of Islam, Akhtham bin Sayfi, rahimahullah, who had passed away in the year 242. He was very, very intelligent. In fact, once Sufyan bin Uyayna, he had a discussion with Sufyan bin Uyayna. And Sufyan bin Uyayna was a great scholar of hadith. So Sufyan was quite sad and depressed. So Akhtham bin Sayfi asked him, "Lima tabki, what makes you cry?" He said, "Bulitu bi mujalasatika ba'da ashabi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," that I had the privilege of sitting with some companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after their demise, I find myself sitting with someone like you. So for me, it's an anticlimax. That I had the privilege of sitting with giants and legends and stalwarts like the noble companions, and now I have to sit with you. Now, obviously, that was not the best of answers to tell someone on his face. But subhanAllah, look at the wisdom, and this is what they refer to as al-ajwibatul muskita, you know, answers that just silences the opposition. He said, فَمُصِيبَةُ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمُجَالَسَتِكَ أَعْظَمُ مِن مُصِيبَتِكَ. Then if that is the case, then really speaking, the pain and the plight and the condition of the noble companions was more challenging than your condition, because you have to sit with me and they had to sit with you after sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Sufyan bin Uyayna heard this, he said, أَظُنُّ أَنَّ السُّلْطَانَ سَيَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْكَ. Young boy, you have great wisdom and knowledge, and soon the ruler of the time will be knocking your door. And exactly so did it happen. Mudabbiru mamlakati Ma'mun. He was the leader in the kingdom of Ma'mun. He was Qadiyul Qudat. He was the chief justice. So once a person came to him and asked him, you know, for some words of wisdom. And in that he posed few questions, and that is what I share with you today. The first question he asked, Kam akul? How much am I allowed to eat and indulge? Now, we live in a world today where everything revolves around himamuhum butunuhum. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prophesied an era where everything would be about what you eat. Everything would be about, the entire focus of a person would be regarding food, eating, indulgence, etc., etc. So he gave this amazing answer. He said, فَوْقَ الْجُوعِ دُونَ الشِّبِعِ. Eat that much which is adequate to suppress your hunger, but not to your brim. Wow. And honestly speaking, if this act can be balanced and can be regulated, it's a formula to stabilize our health and our spirituality. Was it Luqman Hakim who told his son that إذا امتلأت المعدة نامت الفكرة وقعدت الأعضاء عن العبادة وخرست الحكمة. Oh my son, when the belly is to its brim, then wisdom is out of the window. And then you lose focus in life and your organs and your limbs become lame and lethargic. You are unable to perform any virtuous actions. I often give this simple piece of advice for people traveling for Hajj and Umrah. If it's one thing that I can say to you, Perform Umrah on a light tummy. Perform Hajj on a light tummy. Be in Arafat on a light tummy. When the tummy is light, the tears will flow. You will able to stand up in nocturnal prayer. Yahya bin Mu'adh rahimahullah used to say, لو كان الجوع يباع في السوق لكان ينبغي لطلاب الآخرة ألا يشتروا غيره. If hypothetically hunger could be sold in the marketplace, then those that are seeking akhirah should not purchase anything from the marketplace but hunger. And there's another quotation that I read which is so amazing, that a person once asked the doctor, مَدْ دَوَاءُ الَّذِي لَا دَاءَ مَعَ. Sometimes people speak about this is an illness for which there's no cure. So this was a question asked to a physician, is there any cure after which there's no illness? Is there any formula, any recipe, or any exercise that a person could do after which there will be hopefully no illness? And he said, yes, if there's something, it's one thing. And that is, أَلَّا تَأْكُلَ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْجُعْ وَأَنْتَ تَقُومُ مِنَ الطَّعَامُ وَأَنْتَ تَشْتَهِ الطَّعَامُ. That you only eat when you are actually hungry. You only eat when you are actually hungry. In fact, in the Quran, Allah refers to the meals of the dwellers of Jannah. وَلَهُمْ رِزْقُهُمْ فِيهَا بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّةً. In the morning and the evening. Some say, dawam, kinaya ani dawam, it means throughout the time. But many others believe that the actual time is two meals a day and not three meals a day. So the first answer given by this amazing person, Yahya bin Aktham rahimahullah, he said that you eat that much which is above your hunger, but not to your brim. Okay? Kam adhak, how much am I allowed to laugh in this world? Wow, what an amazing answer. So there's two scenarios. There is the pain and the agony in the world that's happening. So because of that, do I do away with laughter and cheerful nature and humor? Or there are some happy moments happening. He got married. There was a child born. He got inaugurated. He was graduated. He excelled in his exams. Do I share in these happy moments and just laugh? So what's the balance between the two? And he said, مَا يُسْفِرُ وَجْهُكْ وَلَا يَعْلُو صَوْتُكْ. This is so amazing. You should laugh to the extent that your face is cheerful. You are bubbly by nature. You give off a sense of warmness. But at the same time, your voice is not raised in a manner that it is insensitive to those that are in pain. So in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مُعْظَمُ ضِحْكِهِ التَّبَسُّمْ. By and large, it was just a smile. He was cheerful, he was pleasant. There was never a qahqaha, that is an outburst of laughter. Someone asked Wahab ibn Munabbih rahimahullah, أَكَانَ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَضْحَكُونَ. Did the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ever laugh? He said yes, but their faith was stronger than the mountains. So that's the second question, and that's the balance in which we indulge in moderation, in meaningful laughter. The third question, كَمْ أَبْكِي. How much should I cry? To what extent should I cry? And he said, لَا تَمُلَّ مِنَ الْبُكَى مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. There's no limit to how often and how much you should cry out of the fear of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the pious servants, خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًا. They fell in prostration, tearing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ يَبْكُونَ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا. And they fell on their chins, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Quran would increase them in humility. When Salih Muzani had seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream, and then the Prophet of Allah said, read Quran, and he read Quran, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya Salih, هذه القراءة فأين البكاء. Oh Salih, this is the recitation of the Quran, but this goes with tearing. The Quran and tears are something that you can't separate. So you've read the Quran, where are the tears? Sadly, we have moments while we're reading, we're laughing, we're indulging, our hearts are heedless. But how often do we cry? So the third question, how much should I cry or how often should I cry? He said, لَا تَمُلَّ مِنَ الْبُكَى مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not tire out of crying, out of the fear of Allah. The fourth question that he asked, he said, كَمْ أُخْفِي عَمَلِي. My good actions, my virtuous deeds, how much of it should I conceal? Should I reveal it? Should I expose it? Or should I conceal it? And he said, مَسْتَطَعْتَ. Conceal your noble, pious deeds to the best of your ability. And that's what Allah loves. Someone gave a description of ikhlas. is when you are passionate to conceal your virtuous actions, just like you conceal your wrong. So when a person has done something wrong, he doesn't want anybody to know about it. People are so possessive over the devices today because don't open into it, don't get the password. Unfortunately, there are unsavory things in it. So the passion with which you conceal your virtue, your vice, conceal your virtue in the same way. And then he concludes the dialogue, the rich dialogue, by asking, Kam udhiru min amali. You told me that I should be concealing my good actions, but am I allowed as well from time to time to reveal some of my virtuous actions to others? And subhanAllah, he gave a very amazing answer. He said, ما يقتدي بك البر. It is fine for a mentor to divulge to his disciple, or to a father to his children, or a tutor to his students, or a colleague to his colleague about some of his good actions, to the extent that it motivates others to follow in the same footsteps. So sometimes a father should sit his son down and say, listen, my son, I'm aging and I don't know what my lifespan is or what do I have left in the years ahead. But I want to inform you that these are the practices I have maintained over the years, and I did not whisper it to you so that it could remain a secret. And the only reason I share it with you today is so that you can continue the legacy. In the 13 juz in Surah Ar-Ra'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the pious servants, يَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ, that they resist evil in a good way. And Allah says, أَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعْلَانِيَةً. They spend from what we had given them secretly and openly. And the scholars say, why has Allah highlighted spending openly in this verse as well? And the motivation of that is so that it can encourage and motivate others. May Allah give us the ability to imbibe this wisdom so that we can have spirituality for longer periods, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum.